Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Dan Lanning, Oregon football coach. You know, he's listening to Tyler Childers. What else does he listen to? What does he listen to on game day? Bring him on now. Welcome back. Thanks for holding.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I bought tickets to a Zach Bryan concert. What am I getting into?
You're one of the best concerts of your life. You're going to have a blast, man. You're going to have a blast.
Going to take my wife to go see Zach Bryan, and so I'm going to have to start listening to the music. Do I need to start anywhere on that playlist? I think you recommended a Zach Bryan song once upon a time.
I'm sure I have. I mean, Heading South is a good place to start, but I don't think you're going to find a song that you don't like. Have you listened to him at all, or no, not really?
Little bit. I knew who he was.
Time to crank it up. Yeah, time to crank it up. I know. You'll enjoy it, man. But you'll have a lot more fun if you know the songs while you're there. But I promise you this, everybody there at that concert will be singing along. So he's an impressive performer, man. He just walks around the stage and just keeps rocking the whole time. Like, doesn't really take a break. He's good.
Do you have a concert that you either recently saw or maybe even as a kid or a college kid you went to see that sticks into your mind?
I've never been a big concert goer, you know, never really at all. I mean, so most recently I went to Zach Bryan, and that was awesome. Okay. So I think it's something I'd like to tap into a little bit more. When I was at Memphis, I saw Tom Petty, but it wasn't the same Tom Petty. You know, when I was a little kid, I think my parents took me to, like, Peter, Paul, and Mary. So, but I don't know if that would be my first pick for a concert to roll to. But you know, so I don't have a lot of great, like, concert experiences where I've been to a bunch of concerts. I went and saw U2 at the Sphere in Vegas when they were there. And I'm a big U2 fan, but unfortunately, they played more music that I didn't really know than the stuff that I know. So
they didn't play the old stuff?
They didn't play. They did at the very end, and it was kind of like, man, I wish you would have just done one of those, like the third song, so I could have been, you know. But the Sphere, the whole setup there was awesome.
Yeah, I hate when you go to a concert and they don't play the stuff you came to see. Like, you know, and I'm not a big concert guy, but I've been to a few. And I also think, like, the Sphere, I haven't been in there, but everybody who goes in there says it's amazing. Give us an idea. Scouting report on the Sphere.
Yeah, well, you walk in and you're kind of like, oh, okay. And they, like, at least when we went, it distinctly has, like, the backdrop kind of as, like, a little bit of blah. Like, it looks like a metal wall, and you're not really thinking that much of it. And then when it lights up, you realize how high it goes and how intense the graphics are. I mean, it's amazing. It really is impressive. Very cool.
A lot of
best
talk.
Best venue I've ever been at.
A lot of talk this offseason, there's just been a lot of talk. It feels like we've been talking about football, and we're finally going to get to play some football. Are you the kind of coach that's eager to see your team play, or are you the guy who says, oh, I could do with another week of practice?
I've always been the guy that says, give me another week of practice. I'm ready to go play now. I mean, but I've always been the guy that's like, oh, give me a little bit more time to prepare. You know, our guys have worked really hard in fall camp. It's time to go play somebody else and figure out where we're at and what we can improve on. So, I think they've done a great job, but I'm anxious, and so are they, to go play a team.
You know, how do you kind of manage a game like this? I know last year you got to play a lot of guys in that Portland State game. The game got away, and you know you got to use it as an opportunity to get some guys on the field. Do you have a plan that way for this game, or how do you sort of manage the personnel and how many guys will actually get in and get some reps?
Well, you always play to win, right? That's where it starts, and in our job, like you always plan for every scenario. So we have a plan for multiple scenarios, but you know, based on this game plays out, and you know, if we have the opportunity to get guys more opportunities, then we'll definitely take advantage of that. But it still goes back to the key of, can you play winning football for Oregon? And those are the guys that will touch the field first for us, are guys that can play winning football. And then there's going to be some guys that can play winning football, and regardless of the score, they're going to touch the field as well. And then we'll continue to, you know, work our way with more guys able to potentially play if we perform a certain way and take care of business.
How do you think a two-minute warning or a two-minute timeout is helpful, or how does that change, or does it change anything as it pertains to kind of college football and the way you get to finish a half or a game?
you know, it's two different thoughts. As a former defensive coordinator, I'm like, oh, great, you're giving offense four timeouts now. You know, as a head coach now, I'm like, okay, we get an opportunity to get another 40 seconds and maybe have a chance to score again. So to me, that's kind of how I look at it. Is there's a fourth timeout now on both sides. You know, and there's a lot of strategy behind that and how you play that based on either side of the ball, whether on defense, offense, and even special teams. You know, do you want it to get to the two-minute warning before a change of possession? Do you not want it to get there? Running the ball in the past in 2 minute, you wouldn't necessarily run the ball. Well, now if you know the clock's going to stop at 2 minute warning, you can certainly, it opens up the opportunity to run the ball, you know, in 2 minutes, you know, just outside of 2 minutes. So there's a lot of things that it changes strategically on how you'll attack, but should be an interesting piece to the game, I think.
It feels to me like there's more interest than maybe since about 2012 with Oregon football. Like, maybe that's the only run up to a season that I could feel where there was this much electricity. And it's even more now because I think people are looking, you know, they're looking into your schedule, picking out the Ohio State game or picking out the Wisconsin game, going, oh, that's one I got to go see. What does it feel like for you as a coach in the off season when there's a little bit of a ramp up of the electricity?
Well, it's fun, right? You get into this to get to be a part of some big games and big opportunities. And certainly with all the change, you know, not just the changes the teams are going to play, but the conference we're going to, and the college football playoff and all the other things that are changing in college sports, it just keeps you on your toes. It makes you feel like you need to be working in the middle of July rather than maybe taking a little bit of a break. But overall, I'm really excited about this season and excited about this team to see how it plays out.
As a head coach, you're going to run into cases where, you know, you may not like something that I say or something that I write. Last year, there was a coach in the Pac-12 who banned a reporter from the, you know, covering the team, tried to pull the credential. This year, we've got a coach, Colorado, says, I'm not going to answer questions. How do you handle that stuff? Because I get the impression you'd just pick up the phone and call me if we had a disagreement over something I said or something I wrote.
Yeah, I don't normally get that hung up on it. I'll say this. I don't think you or anyone else has probably ever heard me answer a question I don't want to answer, right? But I'll probably pretend to answer it, and I just kind of walk around it and dust it off and make you feel like I answer your question, and then I'll say something about, but I really like our football team and keep it moving. So, like, I just think that's – you guys have a job to do, and it's your job to ask, you know, questions, and I should understand that. But, you know, there's a difference in – I also think, okay, that was a really good question. Or sometimes I'm like, all right, I don't get that one. But that doesn't necessarily give me a reason to complain. It is what it is, right? That's you have a job, do your job, and so do I.
I can tell when you get a question you like, and I can tell when you get a question that you're just tired of answering. And I think that's human nature. But you know, if this were poker, I can tell, because I know that, like, you know, when you're at
body language,
it's just, you know, like at media day, you're going through the same interview like 25 times. And so, you know, how are you going to be this season? How does it feel to be in the Big Ten? I'm not interested in that stuff. I'm more interested in, you know, when you were driving the pontoon boat in the summer and the cousins are all jumping off the pontoon boat, or you're pulling a tube, like, you know, how much fun is that for you? Do you really stop thinking about football when you get a chance to hang out with your kids and your family?
Yeah. I mean, when I'm driving the boat, I'm thinking about being the uncle that gets to throw a kid off the tube. Like, that's my mission. And our pontoon that we had this summer was just not that fast. Not a lot of horsepower behind that thing. So I had to use, it's like when you have to use the other boats in the water's wave to get a good, you know, to get a good run. So that's what I got kind of good at, is maneuvering that thing and getting a good little wave to, you know, fling a kid in the air. So, I try to be where my feet are at, wherever that's at. I don't think in my job, you can ever completely remove yourself from what this job requires, which is a lot of thought and a lot of time. But I try to be where my feet are at as much as I can.
Fun Uncle Dan Lanning is with us. The game, I like your schedule, because, you know, you go from this opener with a Big Sky opponent, and then you get a test at home with Boise State, and then it just seems to kind of escalate. There's a nice flow to your schedule, but tell me what you want to see out of the defense. You're a defensive guy. What do you want to see out of the defense this week? What kinds of things have you been talking about in camp that you want to see transfer to this game?
Yeah, more than anything, just relentless effort and execution. Like, I want to see – it doesn't always mean it's the right adjustment, but I want to see 11 guys playing the same adjustment, right? we give our players a lot of power. And if they can go out there on the field and they might see something different than you see it as a coach, but they're the ones playing the game. So they got this tool belt they're wearing. What tool are you going to use? And can you make sure all 11 guys are using that same tool as you? I want to see that. And then I want to just, you know, everybody says it, but play like your hair is on fire, right? Like, you only get so much time on a football field, and a lot of us would give anything to get to go around out there for one more play. They get an opportunity to do that, so take advantage of every one of them.
I Am Legend, the zombie movie with Will Smith, where he's in New York City. And it's, I like that movie, but give me an idea, all right? You can only pick three players to help you build a shelter to survive that zombie apocalypse. Who are you taking with you and why?
Three players on our team to help me build
a zombie shelter.
Man, I wish I would have paid. I wish I would have paid more attention when we were doing the bed making this summer for, you know, for the kids in need. And you know, it's because we got to operate some power tools. There were some guys that were, you know, working with wood. I don't know if I have a good answer for you. This is definitely off the cuff.
Yeah, I never got that one before, did you?
Would probably okay. Yeah. No, I think Terrence Ferguson would probably be in that list. You know, I just got a feeling that he would be able to put in some work. I mean, really, you just start talking about that tight end room in general. You know, Terrence, Pat Herbert, and you know, Kenyon Roger. We got a good room in there. I feel comfortable with any of those guys helping me build a shelter and protect ourselves. I mean, that's isolating a group there, but that's a good group right there to go to.
I see what you did.
I guess not go to battle with, but protect yourself.
But you did a smart thing there. You didn't pick three guys from different positions. You did a smart thing. That was very diplomatic of you.
Do you think that's what we were talking about earlier, maybe? Like a question that I don't really feel like answering, but I can give everybody praise at the same time? You know what I was doing?
Yeah. How about Jeffrey Bossa, huh? No Jeffrey Bossa in that zombie shelter. It's interesting.
He would definitely be a candidate. I don't think that's like picking your, the world is ending and you get to pick the three people you want to save. Like, good luck. Yeah. I'm not able to do that, right? Yeah. Come on.
Dylan Gabriel, everyone's going to ask you about him, but tell me about the guys he's handing the ball off to, your running back room. We haven't talked a lot about them this summer, but give us an idea what we can look for on Saturday.
Well, I tell you this, I think that's a room you should be talking about. I think Noah Whittington and Jordan James have had exceptional fall camps and springs, and it's good to see Noah healthy again. He's been really good this fall. Jaden Lamar, Jay Harris, those guys have all done a really good job as well, so I'm excited about that group. You know, I think you see, you know, marked improvement in them over their careers, football intelligence and ability to catch the ball to the backfield. I think all that stuff's showing up for them. So it's fun to see.
All right. I'll let you go. Good luck this weekend. I appreciate you joining us and talking about.
I got one question for you, if you got time.
Yeah, I got time.
I was wondering about this earlier when you flipped over, because I was like, how did he flip over whenever Rob was on?
Right.
Like, how hard is it to run a show, but somebody's talking in your ear the whole time that nobody else hears? How long did it take you to get used to that?
It takes some time. This radio thing was supposed to be like, I'm a writer, right? So this was supposed to be like 2 or 3 years I was going to do radio, and here I am 17, 18 years later. It takes time because there's multiple people talking to you, and I have only a couple of times put two guests on at once. And so what I was trying to do is not hang up on Rob and have him mad at me. So I was trying to toggle between you both and get you both on there. But it's trickier. It's tricky. Like, you know, it's probably like, all right, so you're during the game. Like, how many people are in your ear in the headset while you're trying to communicate on the field?
Yeah. Yeah. But I'll tell some of them to shut the heck up too. You know, and you can't really do that. I think you should record the recording of somebody talking in your background at some point and play for the listeners. That would be intriguing. That's just my 2 cents.
And here's the other one. Every once in a while, you'll get a little feedback, and I can hear my own voice with a delay, which is even worse. So you probably have that happen at a game. Okay, but since we're talking, when you're in the headset, like, I'm going to imagine that, you know, you got whoever up in the box who's talking directly to you, or you can kind of toggle between, you're hearing the offense and the defense. But is it someone's job just to kind of be in your ear and go, hey, it's 3rd and 8, you got 2 timeouts? Is that somebody's job?
So yeah, there's distinct jobs for everything, but that's not someone's job to really be in my ear. Like, everybody's on say we're on offense. Everybody on offense is on that headset. I got the ability to flip between offense, defense, special teams, right, on my headset. But on offense, there'll be somebody that's in charge of talking about the personnel for the other team, Mm-hmm. Right. There'll be somebody that's responsible for the down and distance situation and hash. And generally that's the same person. Where bad operations exist is when there's a lot of people talking. So picture it. Okay. Ball's at the minus 21, left hash, third and eight, 11 personnel, right? Like that's all that's said, but you can't have 10 people doing that. It's really one person that kind of shares that job. And then, you know, somebody might say, hey, it's middle closed, right? But you want to keep the airway relatively clear so you can hear the signal caller call their play. But they just need that information to call, because if you're calling it from the sideline, you might not realize, hey, ball's in the middle as opposed to left middle or right middle. You might not realize, was that a first down or not, you know? Mm-hmm. So down and distance, situation, personnel, those are some important things to come in.
And how much does it complicate it if you're trying to communicate to a quarterback or a linebacker with the new technology?
Yeah, so that all of that information won't be reciprocated to the players. There will be a button, you know, that the coordinator can push, and what the coordinator says or myself says, that's what's going to be directly communicated to the quarterback.
And that's all.
That's it. Yeah.
I am fascinated. See, I think you should record that and let people, you know, of course there would be some state secrets in there, but are you mostly just listening as the head coach and then popping in to offer something, or are you really having conversation?
There's conversation, but not all the time. Like at some point you got to let, you know, the meal, you know, let the cooks cook, right? And if there's something I think is important, then I'm going to communicate that, you know. Hey, here's what I'm thinking if we're short. Here's what I'm thinking if we're in a position. This is what I would say is the go, Will, you know, or Tosh, or just, hey, I want to run here. I want to pass. Like, I'll communicate. Communicate on the sideline. But we have really outstanding coaches that do a great job of that.
Dan Lanning, good luck on Saturday. I will catch you down the road. Thank you.
Appreciate it, John. Have a good one.
There he goes. Dan Lanning, Oregon football coach. And I didn't even share with him, like, when he mentioned earlier that he was listening to a certain song, Steven was in my ear going, hey, can I pull that? Should I pull that song? I have a different song. I have a different version of that song. A lot of that going on behind the scenes, but maybe we should just have that out in the open, Steven. Like, you know, you had pulled a, like, kind of a slow jam that was a Tyler Childress song. And, you know, so we decided late, right before the commercial break, not to play it coming back. All of that, maybe that all should be on air.
I did pull a Zach Bryan song for you, if you want that.
All right, I got to get up to speed on this stuff. I know Lanning listened to Zach Bryan because I think it was last season, he just out of the blue texted me, listen to this song. I have entire friendships. Like, I have a friend named Drew. We don't really talk. All we do is send each other TikToks and Instagrams and tweets back and forth. It's kind of a language unto itself. Look at this great play. Look at this guy who threw a runner out at second base. Tweet. Look at this guy who ran, you know, this football play where the guy's helmet came off. And, you know, I don't know if you have friendships like that, but I have entire friendships where we don't actually talk about anything. We just send things back and forth. And so Dan Lanning, he sent me a song. He was like, listen to this Zach Bryan song. And I was like, okay. And he said Jackson Powers had sent him the song, and so I guess he was running it by me. Well, I don't know.
I feel like that's a real friendship because you really understand what your friend likes, right? When you send a video or a GIF or a TikTok, whatever it is, you know what your friend likes, and you're like, oh, you send that, and you know they're gonna like it. So I feel like that's like a true friendship right there. If I have a friend, and I don't know what they like of a video. If I see it, I don't know. Are we really friends?
I think here's the other thing, you know. When I asked him the zombie question, I had a friend who was listening and said, can you ask him if he could take three players with him to build a zombie shelter? Who would he take with him in an apocalypse? I thought he answered very diplomatically. And for listeners who were tuned in, you know, Lanning has an opportunity there to say, you know, I would take Dylan Gabriel at the quarterback room, and I would take, you know, Terrence Ferguson, and I would take Jeffrey Bassa. These are guys he brought to Media Day. So maybe he would take the three guys he brought to Media Day with him, but he didn't do that. He instead picked an entire position group and said, I would take all of those tight ends. And by doing so, you know, you don't have jealousy that happens. You don't have the backup quarterback hearing, well, you didn't take me. You don't have any of that. And that was socially intelligent of Dan Lanning. I think he has a social intelligence that I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at head coaches. He's socially smarter than Mario Cristobal. He's got more social intelligence than Willie Taggart. He's got far more social intelligence than Mark Helfrich, who just wasn't interested in being personable to an extent. I think Chip Kelly was socially intelligent, but also had very little patience for people who weren't. So, you know.
But isn't that the whole appeal with Lanning? And that's why everyone loves Lanning.
I think that's why he can recruit.
Well. Yeah, and he
that's
well.
Why he can recruit. Because he can walk in the room, he can read the room, he can speak to mom, he can speak to dad, he can speak to the kid, he can speak to the media. There's just a social intelligence that's there. And I have often said this, like, you can give me somebody who's Ivy League educated, and I'm not necessarily saying that's bad. That's not a bad thing. Go be smart. But if you give me somebody who is just brilliant socially, that person will be successful. Well, I don't care what discipline they're in.
And he can relate with the young ones, the old ones. He's from the Midwest, so, like, you know, if someone's from the Midwest or, you know, something like that, he can relate with all different types of people. Now he's out in the Northwest. He knows how these people react. Like, it's, I mean, he kind of, you know, that's why I think Duck fans are
but
so
not
bought
be fake,
in on him.
But not be fake about it.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of fakey Bobs out there.
He comes off very genuine. Yeah. Very genuine.
Yeah. There's a lot of inauthenticity out there. And so when you get somebody who's just comfortable being who they are, good with it and able to kind of go with it, we can have a real conversation. Leave it here.